Hello, everybody. This is Packard Pokes at the staff meeting. This is episode 201. I'll be reaching out to see if I can get a hold of Connie. She said she was going to be a little bit late tonight. So I guess we will find out what's going on. Okay. By the way, I would really appreciate it if you could go to patreon.com/PackardPokesAt and make a donation as little as a dollar a month. I mean, that's a quarter a show. I mean, not even a quarter show. We're doing now two shows every week. So it's like, I don't know, whatever's half of 25 cents, you know. All right, let's see if Connie is on. Her Skype is open. Or you can go to facebook.com/PackardPokesAt, hit like on there. Or if you can't donate anything to the show, I would greatly appreciate an email. Or, you know, go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio and give it a thumbs up. Well, it doesn't look like she's on yet. I've been going through what I've got available here so far. If I could figure out how to type on my phone here once in a while. We've got several good stories here. All set to go. I know this is really boring with just me on here, isn't it? By the way, the show is up on Spreaker now. I should upload. I'll do that now while I'm waiting. Matter of fact, I'm going to pause this. You won't notice anything. You're not going to feel anything. And normally I don't edit this, but I'm going to pause this. And I will be back as soon as somebody shows up. And we're back. See, you didn't feel a thing. Connie is now on with me, and I have gotten several articles set ready for her to help me discuss what we're going to be discussing. Well, it is. Well, she will be joining us here in a moment. And if you would like to, the show is up on Spreaker. I may have mentioned that before. It's spreaker.com/user/PackardPokesAt. I believe that's what the address is. Yes, that's exactly what it is. Hello!
I'm here.
Okay, I started the recording, and then I paused it, and then I've restarted it, so.
Did you start late, or you've already?
I been digging stuff while I was waiting for you. I thought you were home, so and I was waiting for you to message on Facebook. It's because I just drove
up the driveway after taking my number 6 son to the train depot.
Oh, no worries. No worries.
Yeah.
No worries. But I found a lot of articles that we could discuss.
Okay.
And I was just getting ready to launch into the atheist, find out who's an atheist, you know, a celebrity atheist.
Oh, okay.
But I did not get that far yet. There it is. At least they got the page work. They got the page working again. It's now up anyway, but it's still backwards. So they got the first name.
Oh.
If anybody is listening that knows anybody at the Celebrity Atheist Wiki, celebrityatheist.com wiki, tell them to reverse that, please. That is fucking annoying. Anyway, I found some interesting tech stories here, and I couldn't find. I only found one religious story that was somewhat interesting. Let's see here. It's weird news. There's the tech news. Okay. For the tech news, I've came across a couple things. I have not had a chance. I never actually looked at these. I was waiting to talk with you about these.
Okay. What site are you on?
I'll send you the links that I'm at right now. That'll make everything so much easier, won't it?
Yay. Well, I'm not that psychic. I have a very small talent.
That's all right. It's hard to read minds over Skype. So I've heard, you know. Just
I'm good at freaking my husband out.
Oh, that's good. Well, women are good for that anyway.
Keeping them on his toes. NASA spaceship ready for test flight.
Yeah. Apparently it looks like it comes back from the Apollo era, but it's more roomier. You know, they got a pool table and a bar in there.
Oh, so it's James Bond going.
It's
up.
James Bond shuttle, yeah.
round bed.
Yeah. they couldn't get the foosball table in, but they decided to set that aside.
Where's the co-pilot?
Yeah, it kept poking the co-pilot when he was trying to maneuver. it's scheduled liftoff on the next flight at 7:05 Eastern time. Oh, this Thursday. No, I guess we'll have time to watch it and then talk about it after the show also.
Unless you get another major storm there.
Yeah, or the ship blows up or something. I hope that doesn't happen.
Bite your tongue.
Yeah, I know. You know, although I tell you something, when those orbiters come down, like in the Apollo 11, there's that picture down there, and it's got the little balls on the top there. That always reminds me. When I see that, it looks like it's got some kind of pustule. You know, it's like I just want to go poke. You know.
Well, the ship here, I'm assuming it's all its stages and everything. What I'm looking at in the photograph, it looks like it should be sitting next to your toilet, and you lift the handle, and it's the plunger or something inside of there.
Yeah.
I was not aware of the Orion. Okay.
Yeah, it's the Orion. Yeah.
From Cape Canaveral.
Cape Canaveral. Yeah, apparently they've been having to pay Russia Space Agency since 2011. I already knew that, but
we did talk about that.
Yeah, we've been talking about that. Now the Apollo capsules held 3 astronauts who were out in space for about 6 to 12 days. Boy, they got pretty ripe up there. I bet you after 6 days, 12 days. Holy crap! especially with 3 guys in there, you know.
Yeah. Well, I guess since they're all wearing their suits, maybe it traps the odor, too.
Oh, let's hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. Let's see. An oxygen hose is going up from the Apollo 11 lunar space shuttle. A sample of lunar soil. Well, they could always just go get more. Why do they need to take more with them? a Tyrannosaurus Rex fossil. Oh, good. That's what we need.
You see all of this on the dash, like the dash of a car or something? There's a troll.
a little troll.
Little bobbleheads.
This reminds me. That reminds me of a George Carlin thing. He's like, you know, they put the little plastic Jesus on this dashboard. And it's like instead of having Jesus watch the traffic, which he should be doing, he's having Jesus watch us drive. Watch this, Jesus left turn. So.
That's... He's the ultimate backseat driver in front. everything they're taking up, that's kind of...
Yeah. Let's see here. Now, there's this story? One. Yeah, that's one. I found a lot of tech stories. I had to dig. I mean, I really had to dig for these tech stories because they were, you know, it's always the other Wednesday. It's where they're few and far in between. This one goes around Twitter now. They released a new suite of anti-harassment tools, promises faster response times for dealing with abuse. According to the picture here, they've got several different things on here. They've got like being disrespectful or offensive. That's everybody. Harassing me. Threatening violence or physical harm. Not there. There was also some other ones on here. Where's the picture? Oh well.
So not only are the important things like somebody, you know, who's stalking somebody. There's all these people who are, I'm not touching you. Can report you now.
Yeah, they can report you for all kinds of things. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like. Some of the ones that I saw, I mean, I wish I could find that picture now, but it was just like the stuff that they came up with just really just made no sense. I mean, they could say, well, this person is saying something that I find is rude or words of that effect. I'm like, really? Yeah. I mean, that's just, what if someone doesn't like a story on a... news site or something. It's like, oh, that I don't find that I find that offensive, you know, and then it shuts everything down.
Yeah.
And then who's to you know, to judge that in the long run? I mean, really. I can understand the need to for some things, but these things go way too far.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
Sorry, I'm just trying to grasp it here. I'm like, well.
It says here.
Go ahead.
It says here, as for changes to block, the new blocked accounts page, which you'll get from the settings menu on Twitter.com, shows the accounts you've blocked. We'll be adding more controls and features to this page in the coming months. Additionally, accounts that you've blocked won't be able to view your profile. The updates are now available for a small group of users. In the coming weeks, we'll be rolling them out for everybody. We are nowhere near being done making changes in this area. In the coming months, you can expect to see additional user controls, further improvements to reporting, and new enforcement procedures for abusive accounts. We'll continue to work hard on these changes in order to improve the experience of people who encountered abuse on Twitter. That's from the official Twitter blog.
Well... I don't know.
Oh, they got a link here. How it works.
There are some very serious issues with this. I understand that, but
yeah,
I think too many people just have the thin skin. I know of myself on Facebook when I don't really get like an exchange with anybody anymore. I just unfriend them or I block them.
Right.
It's simple as that. I just go, no, this isn't going anywhere. I'm just gonna block it.
Yeah. They've got a little video here. I'll just play it real quick, maybe. Okay. Maybe I'll play it. Maybe it won't play. I don't know.
It's got an alligator on it.
At least it's not that broken. Oh, it's 21 seconds. Here it goes. Or not. Well, that's interesting. The first 5 seconds, it's totally blank. How about that?
That's how we
there it goes.
Blocked that offensive video.
Yeah, the video is so offensive it won't even play. There we go. Hold on here. Okay, let's see if I can read this. He's got it really tiny here. let's see. What is the... Whoops. Yeah. Oh, here we go. If I can read this. Oh, it's kind of blurry. It says, file a report. What is the problem? This tweet is annoying. This tweet is spam. This account may be compromised. This user is abusive. This tweet contains a sensitive image. Yeah.
Oh, great.
I couldn't believe that when I saw that. It said, this tweet is annoying. I mean, really? Can you see that for a big portion of everything that's on Twitter? I mean, this thing is annoying. This is annoying. They're going to get so slammed with that one. It's just like, this one was a mistake. Let's fucking take that out of there. That's just annoying.
Yeah.
I mean, really?
Now I'm thinking of Dumb and Dumber. You know what the most annoying sound in the world is? What?
Here's another one. This is another link story for tech. Did I post it? I didn't post it. Let's see here. Come on. Maybe my computer's not caught up with me. There it goes. Oh, that's the wrong page.
Something on Engadget?
Yeah, it was something on Engadget. Shit. Hold on a second here. God damn it. That did not go through. Let's try that again. There we go. That's the one. I was page 11 when I found this one. It's DNA smeared on a rocket survives reentry and tells of life's origins. Now we've talked about this before, where we conjecture and speculate that life on this planet may have come from stuff on satellites. We set up the satellite, they went back in time. No. on meteors and comets and all kinds of shit that's hit the planet during its formation. Right. And they said that DNA actually made it through the atmosphere. So it's possible that if it could make it through the cracks and crevices on the screw heads and the grooves of the rockets, on the rockets, which the Swiss, German and Swiss researchers sent up into space and then let come back down, and they found out that the DNA actually survived. So
I'm glad you found this. I heard a blurb about this on the radio this morning when I was waking up.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this is pretty cool.
Yeah,
does bode well too, like for finding DNA perhaps on like we landed on that one. Not comet. Wait.
No, it was a comet. Yeah.
Yeah, comet. Sorry. Was it that or a meteor? Comet.
Yeah.
So
somebody else on Facebook said meteor, and I just wanted to go, no! I wanted to scream, no, it's not a meteor! They didn't land on a fucking meteor!
Yeah, that might not work. Yeah.
Turns out, we were wrong on what color the meteor, or not the, see, now I'm saying it. The... what comet. Color the comet is? It actually, it's a reddish brown.
Iron?
Yeah. Well, it's iron colored. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
it
could be a different, metal, but.
Well, I don't know. That's what they said. Yeah. They got the picture in color now, and then it shows that it's basically in a iron and brownish, reddish brown color. So I was like, now that's something I didn't expect.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like this one here. It's a short show this week.
Yes,
right?
It's a short show.
Too.
I've got another one. I got a couple of these, actually. And Joe's going to be on with you this Friday.
Okay. We're going with two people on a short
one. Yeah, we're not going to be changing to the new format until after the new year, sometime after the new year.
Okay.
This is a new one. Stephen Hawking is still terrified of the AI revolution. Renowned physicist, I almost said psychic. Renowned psychic Stephen Hawking.
I got that for a dollar.
Renowned physicist Stephen Hawking repeatedly warned us about the impending robot apocalypse. We should pay attention. The development of fully artificial intelligence could spell the end of the human race, he told the BBC yesterday. While he admits early forms of the AI have been useful, it's been clearly a huge help in his speech systems. He worries that we won't be able to keep up with super intelligent versions that outwit humans. Hawking made similar comments back in May when he called the development of full AI potentially our greatest mistake in history. Or maybe he just really hated Transcendence. I have not seen that movie yet. and he's not the only genius singing this tune. Tells us Elon Musk. His last name is Musk.
Elon Musk.
Elon? Okay, Elon. Is afraid of a Terminator scenario where plenty of scientists have far measured expectations for AI. Hawking's comments are worth noting. No, I'm sorry, not all. I admit he is a fucking genius, but even a genius every once in a while gets things wrong. I mean, look at Dawkins. I mean, he's brilliant, but you get him near Twitter and he just turns into an idiot.
Well, I'd be curious to hear all his reasons for it.
But, yeah.
I do think it might be a bit alarmist.
That's what I'm thinking too. That's where I'm going on this. I think he's being a bit alarmist. Now, he also said something about a while back, you know, if there was intelligent life out there, that we should not announce our presence to the universe, because, you know, if they can come here, obviously, you know, he's looking at the mentality of, like, you know, how the conquistadors, I think, went to the new world
invasion of South and Central America,
right? Exactly. Yes. Yeah. And how they brought disease and all kinds of things with them, and the tribes there didn't know how to deal with it, and, you know, so they basically wiped them out. So
this is an interesting subject.
Yes. Then there is this one. This one I found kind of fun. You'll see why in just a moment. It's a cable-free elevator, and it moves you in any direction, up, down, left, and right. It's the Willy Wonka of elevators.
My eldest son is a member of the elevator union. He works on elevators.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, how cool is that?
I could possibly ask him what he thinks about this.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that?
You know, this kind of reminds me of is Star Trek. Because the turbo lifts, they literally go up and down and left and right.
Yes.
You know, I and anybody who's listening, yes, I know Star Trek is not real. No! No! Heresy! Heresy! No, it's...
yeah, the doors didn't really open and shut automatically. There were people...
People holding the...
Because of that, we now have that technology.
Right.
Well, I don't know if it's technology. It's hydraulics, but it's...
Yeah, well, hydraulics is a technology, yeah. It says here, elevators are absolutely vital in tall buildings, but they have their limits. You can only move so quickly. You can't usually move sideways to fetch you from one far side of a building. Both of those problems should be solved once a German firm, I can't even pronounce it, ThyssenKrupp has his way.
ThyssenKrupp? I didn't take German, so.
Neither did I. Dyson Group.
Hogan!
It's new multi-elevators. I'm so bad. The multi-elevators ditch cables in favor of magnetic linear motors technology, also used in maglev trains, to move both horizontally and vertically, letting some service very wide or unusually shaped buildings. They can operate in loops and aren't limited by heights either. So you can put multiple elevators, cars in one shaft. You'll never have to wait longer than 30 seconds for a lift. And the space-saving design lets the owners offer more or at least larger apartments and offices. And it's not the first cable-free horizontal elevator. Maggie Motion already has a system in use on board an aircraft carrier for delivering weapons. Oh, that's good. At least, you know, the weapons are getting to their destination faster. However, this may be the first...
Slow that down. Yeah,
we need to slow that down a little bit. however, this may be the first you'll get to actually use. ThyssenKrupp plans a real-world test for an elevator in a trial tower around 2016. And the hardware is intended for civilian buildings. If all goes well, you'll have to spend eight. You won't have to spend
you
ages.
Won't have to,
you
yeah.
won't. Yeah, you won't have to spend ages waiting to get to your intended floor of the future, even if it's at the very top of a skyscraper. You know.
I'm sorry. Is this supposed to be? I'm looking at the illustration. Well, obviously they have people walking around at, you know,
yeah,
extraordinary heights with not even a railing, so it's still inside, but...
Yeah, I think this is just like, you know, like an exploded view where they, you know, they open up things up. Yeah, I think that's what that is.
Well, how would you... Okay, how do you engineer the building then, too, to have not only the vertical shafts but the horizontal ones?
Or just like you would put in a part, a floor, you know, like, but you just instead of a floor in that space, you just put a one long hallway where there's no doors, I suppose.
Or
you put it on the outside of a building, so you don't have to worry about one side of it, I guess.
Maglev.
Yeah.
That's interesting, thinking about going along the ground, but thinking about going vertically?
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about that, too. I was like,
Where are the magnets at? Are they, like, behind it?
Right.
Like, they show them running up and down a track.
Right. Well, I suppose there is some kind of track there, at least, you know, to guide
right.
it, you know, it's... at least it's somewhat of a guide. You know, the only thing I can think of that I think I would be a problem is if it's like magnetic, you have to put I don't think you can put shielding against magnetics, but you have to put enough space between the wall and the lift area there, because you walk by with a watch on, a ring's like, I'm stuck to the wall.
Computers and things.
Yeah, computers.
Well, I would think it'd be shielded. Yeah, but still, it's.
I could
consideration
just,
now, obviously, if the power goes out and you're in an elevator, that's not the place to be anyway.
Right. Well, yeah, with a cable, I mean, it automatic, the motor generally stops. And if the elevator starts to fall, there's safety guards in place that lock it into place. It may not fall very far, maybe a foot or two.
Yes.
But something like this, I don't know. I would think that, you know, if you're going side to side, I don't see a problem, but up and down might be an issue. But unless they put those same safeguards in place. But what if you're like at one of those junction points where it goes from left and right to up and down?
Right.
And you're going to fall, you know, several feet before you actually catch anything, unless they put it in the back behind it, I guess. I don't know.
Have to read more about it.
Yeah.
These links should hopefully take us to some more information.
Yeah, this is. I'm considering the safety issues here, but well,
that's immediately what I think. Well, when you think about anytime you think about an elevator, you think about, well, what if it drops?
Right.
So it's not unusual to say that, but I do kind of question. Although look at the illustration. It looks the building that they're showing these. It's interesting because it looks like
something I'd see in Minecraft.
Blocks, you know,
yeah, it looks like something I'd see in Minecraft.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
yes, people,
I'm
not I play
sure
Minecraft.
That's still practical, you know, engineering wise, but
yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe it is, and we're just not seeing it. You know, if it's possible, maybe they'll make it so it doesn't. It goes. Into the building a little bit further, so you don't have to get off at one side of the building. Maybe it'll go down a hallway or something. You can go right down to the far end of a building the other direction as well.
So no more getting to your vacation destination and finding out that the elevator shaft is at the end of a very long hallway from your hotel room.
Right. That would be interesting. And apparently, according to this, like I think I've said it, that you could put multiple elevators in one shaft. So that'd be kind of cool. No, we got to take the long way. There's another elevator coming right behind us, so we have to go all the way around.
Now just
we're going to go sideways.
Elevator you want.
Yeah, now instead of getting that, you know, you go, and the elevator goes up really quick, you get that pit thing and you fall in your stomach, you know, now it's going to go, you're going to go, whoa, yeah.
Shaken, not stirred, please.
And if the elevator goes out of control, you'll splat yourself up to the side of the elevator, blah. That's going to change all those science fiction horror movies or whatever, you know. We'll cut the cable, no cable to cut. Oh, we'll just set them sideways, blah.
They'll have to redo the movie Speed.
Yep.
The opening scenes.
Yeah, well, yeah, now they have Speed, the elevator that wouldn't stop, you know.
They have to keep the elevator going at 55 miles an hour.
Okay, which one of those tech stories sound good to you?
Oh, my goodness. The one about DNA and actually this one about the elevator, to me, are really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then third would be Hawking.
Yeah,
talking about that's almost like a discussion topic.
Yeah,
though the whole thing about AI. If we didn't do a religion, you know, thing.
Yeah,
to talk about that, like a round table. But those are the ones I'm thinking sound really good.
Okay. Well, we gotta whittle it down to one, unfortunately.
Right.
I got another link for the DNA. Oh, no, maybe that's the same one I just sent you. Yeah, that's the same one I just sent you.
Okay.
I looked on Gizmodo. I didn't find anything very interesting here.
Okay. Let me click on one of the links here on Gizmodo.
Okay.
And see what it says about the DNA. PLOS one. Functional activity of plasmid DNA after entry into the atmosphere of Earth. Investigated by a new biomarker stability assay from ballistic spaceflight experiments.
Where did you?
That's just the opening statement.
Where did you see that one?
If you go to the Gizmodo, the very first hyperlink scientists have discovered. When you hit that, that takes you to the PLOS One website.
All right, I'm at Gizmodo.
Well, if you go to the page that you linked to me.
Oh, okay.
All right, DNA smeared on a rocket.
Okay.
The first hyperlink in the first sentence, scientists have discovered, takes you to PLOS One.
Oh, okay. Got it.
And this is their actual paper, I think. Oh, Lord.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah, they give everything, the figures, the details. I mean, they literally.
Yeah.
This is a lot to digest. We'll leave that for the listeners to. We'll give them the icing. They can go dig it for the cake, you know. Here's the icing.
Is it chocolate icing?
Here's the icing. You go read the cake now.
There is another on Scientific American, which if you further down in the Gizmodo, DNA can survive reentry from space. If a cascade of meteors struck Earth billions of years ago, could they have deposited genetic blueprints and forged an indelible link between Earth and another planet?
Perhaps. Oh, no, that would be kind of cool.
Perhaps, although that puzzling question remains unanswered, scientists have uncovered a new clue that suggests it is possible for DNA to withstand the extreme heat and pressure it would encounter when entering our atmosphere from space. In a new study,
it came from outer space.
Yes. So this is a longer article from the Gizmodo. So there's a fairly good link here to be able to discuss it more.
Sure.
So do we want to do the DNA one?
If you want to do that,
I think that's really interesting.
Okay.
If you want to talk, and honestly, perhaps the cable-free elevator might be something. If we wanted it as a second for next, you know, for the following week, it might still be relevant.
Oh yeah, that'd be
fine.
And
I could maybe talk with my son about what he thinks about that.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So I have a source on that.
Okay, that's a great idea. Let's do that then. We'll do the cable. We'll put the. The article in for the cable-free elevator.
Okay.
And then we will put that in the hold, and I will have this out on Friday, so I'll listen to it next week and Wednesday, and then I'll be able to go, oh, yeah, by the way, and you're going to go, which one are you talking about? Oh, yeah, yeah. It pays to listen to this. at least for me, maybe. I don't know. Okay, going on to the weird news, since we've got we did Onion last week, so we're doing Dupes, Dopes, and Darwin. And for our listeners, that will be changing, so we're not going to be backing these back-to-back all the time, although they...
Just a minute here, dropping... Those two articles in there.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, here's the first one. These are more dupes that I've come across. Let's see here. There's this one here. Justin Hill accused of making meth in a park bathroom. Police in Volusia County, Florida, it's Florida, have arrested a man for allegedly making meth in a bathroom of a local park. He's age 20 of New Smyrth. Smyrth? I don't know how you pronounce that. It's New Smyrth Beach. Was arrested last Tuesday and charged with possession of drug paraphernalia, manufacture of methamphetamines, and possession of cannabis. His alleged bathroom meth lab was discovered when a construction worker called at 911 around 8 a.m. to report smoke emanating from the men's bathroom at the Delaware Park. The worker said the smoke smelled like chemicals and acid. He said he saw a man running from the area carrying a bag. When investigators arrived, they found the remnants of one pot meth lab in the bathroom. Well, when you gotta go, don't squeeze the Charmin.
I gotta say, did he bring his own pot or was he using the toilet?
Yeah, I was gonna say, man, no. If you gotta go and it's setting up smoke, oh man, I don't wanna know what you've been eating, man. It says the park restroom wasn't seriously damaged, but evidence found at the scene led police to Hill, who was also suspected in a home burglary. He was later released on $56,000 bail. Well, damn.
Wow.
Damn. Jail.
He's holding back, bro.
Yeah, I guess. Jail. He's got that kind of cash, and he is doing it in the bathroom of a park. Come on now. That's.
Did he learn nothing from Breaking Bad?
I guess not.
Out in the desert.
Yeah, you got to do it. Do it on the desert in a motorhome. Come on now. You got the cash. You can pick up a stinky old cat thing for like $2,000-$3,000. Man, that rest is all profit after that. Jail records show Hill has been arrested six times in September since 2012, including on felony battery on an emergency medical care provider. Well, that's just stupid. And burglary of an unoccupied conveyance. What, he jumped on somebody's hoverboard? What?
I don't know.
I love it when they use a burglary of an unoccupied conveyance. What? He broke into someone's car! That's all it is! What did you say? The fucker broke into someone's car. It's that simple. Really?
Conveyance.
Unoccupied conveyance. Maybe it was a train, you know, because sometimes trains get on there, you know, there's no one on the train once in a while, you know. It's a conveyance.
It's a moped.
Yeah, it's a moped. he robbed a moped. There's not much you can put on a moped. Okay, and here is another one.
Okay.
All right, let's see here. There we go. I think Joe sent me one just like this, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. Let's see here.
But Joe sends you.
He sent me something about it. He said it was something in the. I didn't look. I'll have to look here. He sent it to me on Facebook, I guess. He says it's in the Dropbox. But this one here.
Well, this is, like, weirder cousin.
Jason Fuckett. That's his name. Or is Puckett? I don't know.
It's Puckett with a P.
It's Puckett. Well, sometimes people say fuck it. With, you know, they use the word fuck it. Instead of saying fuck it, they say...
Florida Walmart.
Yeah. Instead of saying fuck it, they type in the letter P instead of an F, and then it's spelled the same way. You know, but they were the extra T. He was caught slipping a cow tongue into his pants. Man, he wanted a little tongue, but damn, that's not the way to go, you know. He denied slipping the $35 worth of beef tongue into his pants, but the telltale tongue told a different story. The 44-year-old Puckett, was charged last week with misdemeanor theft after a Walmart security guard spotted him slipping two packages of tongue. Hey, baby, give me some tongue. Into his waistband. The guard confronted Puckett at the store's exit. Puckett denied stealing the packages and said he put them back on the shelf. But the guard told authorities Puckett went, then removed the tongue from his pants when he didn't think he was being watched and ran from the store. He remained in jail Tuesday. Bail was set at $2,500. You know, he should talk to that other guy. He already had a, he had a bail of $56,000, and he made bail. You know, this guy can't make $2,500. He's stealing tongue.
I thought it was a roll of quarters that you're supposed to put in.
Yeah,
pants.
Yeah.
I just
yeah. If you want to really impress a lady, you put a couple rolls of quarters in there. Yeah. That's what I heard, anyway. I've never had to do that myself.
God. Well, well.
We can deal with that with so many ways with that story. Let's see here. Yeah, that's the one Joe sent me. That's the one he sent me. Yeah.
Well, and obviously Joe votes for this one.
Yeah, I think Joe votes for that one. This is why he tried to wax and shock and burn his mustache off and hair, and he gives a video of how it went. You know, it says here, perhaps you've raised awareness for men's health issues by growing a mustache for Movember, but now you feel your facial hair was so last month. Oh my God, I still have hair on my face. Somebody get it off me. If shaving is an ordinary way you won't cut it, YouTube funny man Mahesh Shengahar has a few ideas, none of which you should attempt. We're not even sure Shengahar actually did it. He apparently tries to wax, burn, and use a staple gun to remove his facial hair.
A stun gun.
I'm sorry. I was gonna say a staple gun doesn't work. You know, it's just hold it down. No, you're right. A stun gun. You don't need to grow between your nose and upper lip to wince a little. Oh my God. Yeah. No, you don't. I'm afraid to watch the video. He's got such a nice mustache too. The fact that he's trying to, of course, you get that big unibrow going for him too. You know, that I think he should worry about. Don't worry about the must. Don't worry about the stash, bro. It's that unibrow you got to worry about.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Here's another dumbass. Let me get this to you here.
It sounds like that guy has a YouTube channel, so
yeah,
he's
got a YouTube
like
channel.
Jackass doing it on purpose.
Yeah, that's one way to do it. This next year, a homeless man steals an ambulance to see some pole dancing, is thwarted before reaching the titty bar.
The pretty woman.
Yeah, pretty woman, get into my ambulance, pretty woman. Homeless man in Detroit wanted to see some taters, but being homeless didn't own a car, and public transportation wasn't available, so instead of just letting his carnal urges subside, he did the best next thing he could think of. He stole an ambulance and drove it to the strip club. The way they wrote this, he said, he stole an ambulance and drove to the strip club. Way to spell check, guys!
Yay, Detroit.
This is not a story with a ceremonial happy ending in a champagne room, though, as the homeless man was apprehended by police on his way to the strip club. Furthermore, if he had made it to the strip club he was intended to go to, called the Booby Trap, he would have made it there only to find out that the musty old clap trap went out of business ages ago.
So they're just showing a random strip club here. They lied to us.
Yeah.
All new dancers, no cover. I thought that. I mean, I assumed that was the point of going to a strip club, anyway.
Yeah. Okay. From the Oakland Press, frustrated with a lack of public transportation, desperate need to reach a certain destination, host man stole an ambulance. See, now they got it right. He stole an ambulance from a hospital in Pontiac. Let's see here. Yeah, you can't. It says here you can't make this up, and you really can't make this shit up.
Why would you? There's such an abundance.
Wow, I mean, there's certain things you don't. There are two types of vehicles you don't steal: an ambulance, unless you're in Grand Theft Auto or, you know, Saints Row or something, And a police car, well, there's several, not just two here, a police car and a postal worker van. You know, those are the three top vehicles you do not steal unless you're playing those games. Because then those games are worth money, you know, and those ones you steal. So,
he should buy Legos and make his own strip club.
You there know. You go. Going back to last week. Deputies learned about the theft around 11 p.m. Sunday when they dispatched to the hospital at the 500 block of Perry. The ambulance had been parked at the entrance after a patient was transported to the hospital, and it was left unlocked and had a cell phone inside. Authorities located the vehicle after tracing the cell phone in the area in the Sterling Heights, and the Sterling Heights police officers pulled the vehicle over and arrested the suspect, who was cooperative. See, they tracked it using the fucking cell phone. That's oh my god.
Yep. We're never gonna hear the end of it now from the FBI. See, we thwarted crime by tracking the cell phone.
Yeah, I know. It's, you know, the thing is, though, they may have their cell phones in that, the people in that cell phone, they might have a cell phone set up that is specifically tracked just for that reason. So, we don't know, but, yeah. God. It's the colostomy bag of America, you know. Thank you, Medusa. Another Florida one now here. Now, this one is more of a fun story. As far as the kind of the opposite of dopes and Darwins, but it's kind of along the same line as dopes and Darwins. A Florida State Trooper Brad Wagner saved a woman from being strangled by her own seatbelt. A woman in Brooksville, Florida, is happy to be alive after a State Trooper saved her from being strangled by a safety belt on Thursday evening. You know those safety belts? They just get out of control. They like to just climb around your neck. You know, like fucking snakes, man. They're snakes. The 38-year-old victim. What's that?
Seatbelts don't save lives. They take them.
That take them. That's right. This is pure. There it is. There's the evidence that those for all these years, all those people have been saying that the safety belts are evil. There Skynet. It is. It's what's that?
Skynet. Yeah.
Skynet. Yes. The 38 victim, whose name has not been released, became entangled in the passenger seatbelt of her 2010 Toyota when her 4-year-old daughter put the seatbelt around the woman's neck to protest being put in a safety child in a child seat. What? Her 4-year-old put her in here. Mommy,
so
can you hold this?
Her 4-year-old was choking her with the seatbelt.
What the hell? The seatbelt then locked into place, squeezing the woman's neck and make it difficult to breathe. Although her husband tried to remove the safety belt, or seatbelt in this case, his efforts only tightened it more. The woman was nearly unconscious by the time her husband, who was able to flag down a Florida State Trooper, he cut the seatbelt and was able to help the victim start breathing again. No word of the girl was punished for the almost causing her mother's suffocation.
That is quite a freaking tantrum.
Yes.
All right, and this is why you should have everybody should have a Leatherman tool, because it has a little saw blade on it.
Yeah,
Leatherman tools. Wow.
This is a perfect ad for a Leatherman tool right there.
Somebody, some little girl's getting coal for Christmas. I'm sorry. Oh my gosh. What did we have here? We have Stewie. Committing matricide.
Damn you, mother! I shall kill you! That's, just doing Stewie. I'm not actually going to kill anybody. Because my mother's already dead. I can't kill her twice. No, I didn't kill her the first time. She died.
Is there something you wanted to
do? Yes! I'm admitting that I was 200 miles... I was over 100 miles away when my mother died. That's how I planned it. No, it's not. I didn't know it was. Actually, I was quite a ways away. I was actually in another state when it happened.
That's stupid.
Yeah. And actually, no. I had last talked to her when I was in another state. I was in. Where the hell was I? I was in Indiana, on the border of Indiana and Ohio. And the last time I actually spoke to her, so, and I was going to go up and see her that weekend, and I got home, I crashed, and that night I got a call from my the guy that my mother had married. So, my, yeah. So anyway. Anyway, well that got really that got really.
That's not a Darwin Award. But
yeah, that's almost a Darwin Award. Yeah, That's why I was kind of saying it was kind of a Darwin Award. But you know, I think it was kind of happy ending on it. But note to self: don't put 4 year old. Don't be around this 4 year old. She's obviously she's going to grow up to be a killer.
Yes.
That's, so she should go work for the state. Oh, you already practiced killing people? Yes, I almost killed my mother one time with a safety belt. When I was 4, I am experienced. Yeah. Well, there's that. Those are those ones. Which one of those do you like here?
Actually... probably either the cow tongue or the meth story. Meth in the park.
Meth in the park.
Poisoning pigeons in the park.
Oh, yeah, I've got that song. Mm-hmm. I have that song. Did I play that one for you yet?
I don't know if we played that on the...
Oh, I'll tell you what. We'll... All right, here. I'm going to go back to my library on the other one there.
Wow, both of those are Florida.
Yeah, they're both Florida.
Florida meth and Florida Walmart. A tongue in his pants. I don't know. Decisions. And the cow tongue was the one that Joe sent you?
Yep.
Let's go with cow tongue.
All right, cow tongue it is.
Okay.
Cow tongue it is.
Joe will be so happy.
Yes. Okay. Now, on to... See, I could only find, without going to a video, which I'm thinking we're going to break our moratorium for the video stuff here. But I haven't found anything else yet. But I found this one story here for the religious topic.
I think if it, as long as it's not... every week.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Now, this one here, Vina Melkic, sentenced to 26 years in prison for blasphemy after appearing in a mock TV wedding scene. See, I don't know how old the story is, though. That's the only problem.
Okay, sorry. I'm trying to catch up here. I was just dropping.
Oh, here it is. It's from Wednesday, 2014.
Okay.
That's the only story I could find. I hadn't, like I said, I had not gone to a video yet. Although, you know, we could do like a video like every other week or something like that. I think that would I think that would be fine. We'll just, if we go to look for a video, we could do that too.
Is she Muslim? Oh,
yeah, she's Muslim. She's Pakistani. Yeah. Vienna Melikic had expressed her anger and disbelief when she was handed a 26-year jail term in a Pakistani anti-terrorism court for malicious acts of blasphemy. Her crime, appearing in a pretend wedding scene staged on a daytime show broadcast by GOTV and based on the marriage of the Prophet Muhammad's daughter. The program sparked a wave of controversy in the Islamic country when it aired in May, despite the fact that similar scenes had been aired in the past with little or no such public outrage. Some even appeared to be suspected that the Pakistani's military were behind the mock wedding, and they were putting in a bid to wage on the blasphemy war against the broadcaster. Yeah, all right, there we go. Her husband, Assad Bashir Kahan and somebody,
Amir Shakil Rahman.
Thank you. Chief executive officer of the biggest media group in the Asian country, further sentenced to 26 years behind bars for the appearance of religious offense. See, this is why blasphemy laws don't work. The host of the show, Siesta Huandida, was also punished. Oh, good grief. 26 years. 26, she said, quote, 26 years. come on, 26 years is a lifetime, but I have faith in higher courts in Pakistan. Your faith is well misplaced. She said in a recent interview quoted by Gulf News, when the final verdict comes, it will do justice to me. Nothing bad is going to happen. Think again, lady.
I'm looking at the picture of her here, and I'm surprised they don't have her beheaded just for dressing this way.
No kidding. I mean, she is showing more cleavage than, I mean, I've seen internet porn that had showed less cleavage. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, she's gorgeous. I'm not, it just.
Yes, she's very pretty.
They're fussing about a marriage in a fake marriage in a TV show.
Right. Yeah, and it says here the malicious act of proclaimed offenders ignited the sentiments of all Muslims in the country to hurt the feelings, which cannot be taken lightly, and there is need to strictly curb such tendency. The court order issued by the judge reads, however, Malik may not actually end up serving her sentence. With a body like that, I'm sure not. No, I'm kidding. The court will be enforced in the city of Gidget, which is control is shared between Pakistan and also sits in India claimed Kashmir region. As such, it is not considered a proper province by Pakistan, meaning that any verdicts delivered by its courts do not apply to the rest of the country. I have always been a person who faced troubles by looking at it in the eye. Malik, currently in Dubai, and said her decision to return to Pakistan in the next 2 weeks and challenge the court order. Big mistake. Run, bitch, run.
I gotta say.
I have faced highs and lows in my life, but I'm sure I haven't done anything wrong. Well, no, you haven't done anything wrong, but run, bitch, run.
Exactly. It won't matter.
It won't matter.
They'll say so. You'll be able to say so if they cut your head from your shoulders. It's
yeah, no shit.
Wow.
They did that to that one woman. Some guy tried to kill her, so she killed him first, and she got killed for it. She got, she was executed. As well as a hefty jail term, the convicted parties were also ordered to pay a fine of 3 million rupees. That's around 8,000 pounds. No, not weight, pounds, pounds. And that's, I don't know, about $9,000, $7,000 in U.S. money. Surrender their passports and sell up their properties. Mm. And so it doesn't say all their properties. Even sell up your properties to get the money. I mean, if she is some kind of star, I'm sure she's got that in her couch. She's probably got that in her couch. The court case makes a controversial for the Bollywood actress. She sparked outrage in 2011 after posing in a series of risque pictures in the Indian FHM. She is depicted on the front cover of a men's magazine with her arms and legs positioned to cover her private parts. let's see. The letters ISI, the acronym for Pakistani Spy Service, the Inner Service Intelligence Agency, were scrawled on her arm. The blasphemy, the heresy. This is just no, this is just stupid. See, this would show that we are definitely not just going after the Christians.
That is true. Shoot.
Unfortunately, we don't get stories a lot like this, so this would be. Okay. I like the top picture there. She's kind of up against the mirror, but the thing is, the mirror does not really need necessary because I know it makes it look like she's standing up against herself, but it's I think mirrors are way overdone. If you've found anything, I'd be open to taking a look at it.
I haven't really had opportunity to be looking too much.
Okay.
The last few days. So
all right, well,
I apologize.
Oh, no worries. I've been kind of busy myself and busting my ass at work. I mean, I had to cover for some guy that quit and then he's just come back. So I'm like, okay, all right, whatever. Yeah. Let's see. There was.
Let's see. No story.
Let's see here. Oh, there's this one. I did watch this one here about Robertson. this guy, Robertson.
The viewer writes in, Pat, I am concerned.
Whoop, you know what? It'd make it easier for people to hear it if I, instead of trying to hear it through my microphone. There we go. Let's try that. Okay.
A viewer writes in, Pat, I am concerned. I've been unemployed for 6 months and about to lose my unemployment benefits. I will then be cashless. 100 resumes submitted and only 3 job interviews. I'm numb, have lost my motivation, have no energy, nothing happening but bills, mortgage, and I have been giving $20 to $40 per month to CBN and others. What can I do? And God bless you.
Ask God what he can put in your hands. You know, there are a lot of jobs you can do yourself. Telephone marketing, for example, you can do telephone marketing from home. There are a lot of people who use their own telephone, make telephone calls, and you can get paid for doing it. Think about raking leaves, mowing lawns, trimming bushes. I mean, there are thousands of things you can do on your own. Don't always wait for somebody else to hire you. But ask the Lord, when you send that $20 or $40 off, you say, God, I am putting a request along with this. I'm investing it with power.
Basically, he's saying, no matter what you do, be sure you still send us cash.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's like, I'm sorry. I feel sorry that you can just go work a manual job. We need ditch diggers, you know. And by the way, be sure to send us that money, you know. Oh.
Exactly. Oh, goodness. There you go. Got to cover his own butt. And
yep.
Really, telemarketing, people may... He's basically
not telemarketing. The only thing you can do telemarketing from your own home. I mean, I suppose they could, but you'd have to get it set up a special number and all that shit. But you know, the thing is though, the only thing you could do is sex work. Yeah.
Well, God might be okay with that. You
sure.
Know,
he's not actually touching anybody. You're just talking dirty to them, you know, putting images in their mind.
My goodness.
Connie's over there fanning herself, everybody.
Right Wing Watch, Hagee's son. The Hagee Hotline. Strict rules and Ten Commandments would have prevented unrest in Ferguson.
Yeah, that's more political.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it is. Okay.
Let's see here. Ferguson protests violating civil rights of others. That's Right Wing blog.
Yeah, that's where I was at. I was at the blog.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Here we go. If we do a video, this is a good one. Oops, my computer's been acting weird ever since I updated.
So the question of today's program on the Hagee Hotline is, how do you govern chaos? I can tell you from my personal experience in life, the way you govern chaos is you never let it begin.
Right.
My father, he had 5 children in his house. 5 kids in one room is a ripe environment for all kinds of chaos.
Right.
Yeah, never let it happen. Therefore, you suppress freedom of speech and suppress, you know, freedom of action, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you suppress that stuff.
He kept chaos from starting. He never let it begin.
Right.
He said, these are the rules. When you break the rules, there's a consequence for the rules. Now, that seems like an overly simple principle, but apply it to this situation in Ferguson. You just mentioned having an area where there can be a peaceful demonstration, but if that demonstration becomes anything other than peaceful, there's a consequence for breaking the rules of this engagement.
We already have those in place, Hagee. It's not like we need anything extra on top of that.
Consider what we mentioned about the Ten Commandments. How do you govern chaos? Put the Ten Commandments into play in the Ferguson situation.
Right.
Thou shalt not steal. What would that commandment have created in this matter?
Right.
One, there would have never been a reason for there to be an engagement between Michael Brown and Officer Wilson.
Right.
Thou shalt...
Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, that foresight, you know, hindsight's 20/20. It was like, oh, well, if he hadn't stole anything, then, yeah, we would have just, you know, we could have just didn't have to worry about it. Then none of this would have happened. Well, if the cop hadn't shot him, none of this would have happened either. Why don't we add 11th commandment to that? Thou shalt not shoot black people just because they're black.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kill. What would that do in a situation that we see happening with a young man who was assaulted by a pack of teens carrying hammers that beat his car, and then when he stepped out of the car, beat him to death 20 miles from Ferguson in a community just outside of St. Louis? Right. You know, we're seeing these kinds of things pop up all over the place, and the excuse is injustice. The truth is we want chaos. Yeah.
That was from Right Wing Watch. Thank you, Right Wing Watch. The truth is, we want chaos.
No.
Oh. Yeah, this is...
Well, actually, yeah, that's probably a little more than we want to chew off.
Maybe. Yeah, I suppose.
Well, either the one you showed, again, because I don't talk too much about Muslim, Islam, about Hajj, you know, what do you call it? Not hijabs, because that's actually what they wear. But
oh, the hijab?
Yeah, I don't talk about that so much because I don't know a lot about it, but that was good. And then Robertson telling somebody, well, don't stop pledging, just get a job.
Go get a job and make sure you keep pledging.
There's nothing wrong with your pledge. That's not what's wrong.
Yeah.
So I like both of those.
Okay.
So...
I couldn't find any other stories. I mean, I was looking, but I couldn't find anything really decent here. I mean,
yeah. I kind of had a different one last week. I liked that.
I think we talked about last week was the they're talking about the Texas books things there?
No. Okay. That's also pretty good.
I thought we covered that books. Though.
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, we might have done that in the meeting, but I don't. How they have Moses is going to be inspiring the Ten Commandments, and Moses inspired our founding fathers is in Texas school books. Yeah, like really? Okay.
Well, here's something I just came across. Over 50 Catholic churches will close in the state of New York before the summer of 2015. The reorganization announced on Sunday has been a long time in coming, reflecting demographic trends that have been plagued the Roman Catholic diocese much across the nation for decades. The number of priests has fallen each year, and retirements outpace ordinations. Ordinations. I can't pronounce that.
Ordinations.
Yeah, I did say it right. The attendance has been declining. As of 2013, only 12% of New York Archdiocese, or 2.8 million Catholics, regularly attended Sunday Mass, according to the Archdiocese. Oh, that's kind of cool. There's something that's...
I like that one, too.
Yeah. Let me get the link for you here. I'll send it to you.
Well, I've got the New York Times.
That's where I've got it from here, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've got the page then.
All right. Then I'll just send it to you anyway, just to make sure we're on the same page, as it were.
Okay.
Do, 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 do. There we go. There's the full article right there.
Wow.
Let's see here. This is funny. Kind of a little off topic here. It says, what it's like for an atheist to read prayer requests on Facebook. Hey, everyone, my mom is going to the doctor today to see if she has cancer. Could you all fart for her, please? I'm adding your mom to my fart art circle tonight. Oh, no, I'm farting for her. Farting right now. I'm sharing your requests for farts. Farts coming up. Many farts lead heading your way. Stay strong. I am farting very hard for you and your mom right now. Farting! That's funny as hell. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
Let's see here.
Well, this is interesting about the Catholic Church closing, and mm-hmm. I think being able to maybe a little side note might look into across the nation, what are the numbers doing in the churches? What's happening?
Right.
Are they, actually just closing their doors and disbanding, or are they, moving somewhere else?
But yeah.
What's the reason for it?
Well, I think I basically think they said, it says a full article here. It says, yeah. All in all, 112 parishes will be merged to create 55 new parishes, the Archdiocese announced. In 31 of those new parishes, one of the churches will no longer be used for regular services, meaning those churches will be effectively closed by August. Oh, wait, how old is this story?
It says
November 2nd. It's for November
2nd.
November 2nd? Yeah, that's
too old.
That's a month old. All right, forget it. We can't use that one.
All right.
Sorry. I was like, oh, getting all hopes up. Like, oh, this is from November. Last month. This is December, everybody. Just in case you weren't paying attention to your calendar and you're listening to this, by the time you read this or read this, you're reading the podcast. By the time you hear this podcast, it'll be like today, the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th. It'll be Friday, the 5th. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so there you go. Okay, well, do you want to do you want to go with the Robertson, or do you want to go with the story here, the lady who got 26 years in prison? Because, I kind of like this story, though, because the fact is that we don't cover enough of these Islamic stories.
Yeah, no, I think we should go with the first one,
the
woman from Pakistan.
Yeah, let's go. All right, that's a good idea. Let's go with her, then.
Okay.
Okay, and finally, for our Did You Know They Were an Atheist? Let's see here. This is just so weird. You know, the way they got this, they've still got the first name. The first name by the letter, All right, if anybody's on celebrityatheist.com, you understand what I'm talking about here. They've got, they start off with Forrest J. Ackerman, but the last name is still in the first place, even though it starts with the letter, they say FDPAS, and it's like, but they're still going by the last name, which is so confusing. If you're going to go by the first name, go by the first name alone. Don't go for the first name and then organize by the last name. It doesn't make a damn bit of sense.
Yep. All right.
Just pick somebody at random here and see if we can follow it to somebody else. All right, here's one. Diane Farr. Co-host of MTV's KROQ's Loveline Media. Farr, along with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew, is a co-host of Loveline. During a May 1999 show featuring Henry Winkler as a guest, Farr said, "For Lent, when I was younger, I gave up Happy Days. Now I'm an atheist." Yeah, all right. Oh, that's not much to go on. Let's see if we can suss this out a little bit. Sounds like she said it as a, kind of a, whoops, and I misspelled atheist. Of course I did.
Okay, there we go. That's all.
Oh, well, I found her on the Wikipedia here. Find Okay, personal life. Raised Catholic, Farr is now an atheist. On June 26th, she married Markniak. Well, there's a citation here.
Sorry, the name of the person. I was busy typing.
Oh, it's Diane Farr. F-A-R-R.
Okay. Diane.
Yeah.
Farr.
That's it. That's the whole quote. Adjourned in May 1999 show.
Page.
There's no, you know. What the fuck? Jerry Falwell's on the fucking top of this page. Why is he on the top of this page? That I can't figure out.
That's funny.
That's weird. It says here, it says if we ever opened a meeting with a prayer, silent or otherwise, we would disintegrate. He addressed a religious news writer associated with New Orleans, explained with why moral majority meetings do not open with prayer. Says that he has yet to find a stronger case for why against the proposed school prayer constitutional amendment. Says his group did not open meetings with prayer because of political organizations that included Jews, Catholics, Mormons, Protestants, and some non-religious members. What kind of prayer would we use? He asked. I feel most ministers who claim they've heard God's voice are eating too much pizza before they go to bed at night. It's really an intentional disorder, not a revelation. It's an unknown source, but that's funny if he actually said that. He shouldn't be on the page, though, but yeah. let's see here.
Let's see.
I don't know if you can hear that. I'm getting a buzzing noise. I don't know where it's coming from. Ever since I got neighbors, I'm getting buzzing noises on my over my headset occasionally.
No, I don't hear it.
Oh, good. Well, if you can't hear it, it's not going
to
be...
I have ringing in my ears most of the time these
days. Oh, okay.
It's unfortunate.
Yes, I understand that.
I
told the ringing to stop. It just stopped. So wish it would work that way, right? Now, let's see here. All right, I'm going to pick somebody else out here because that's too short of a thing. I really can't source that one properly. Let's see here. Here's another one. Richard Feynman. Let me send this to you.
Feynman?
Feynman? Is it Feynman? Feynman? Okay.
I think that's Feynman.
He shared the 1960s.
Yes.
He shared the 1965 Nobel Prize in Physics for his work in quantum electrodynamics, the quantum mechanical theory of electromagnetic field. In What Do You Care About or What Other People Think, 1988, Feynman describes him as an avowed atheist by his early youth. I thought nature itself was so interesting that I didn't want to distort by miracle stories, and so I gradually became to disbelieve the whole religion. It doesn't say it right there. Dennis.
He's a really fascinating person. He's actually quite well known, I guess, to everybody, but I wasn't aware of him till a couple of years ago.
Ah.
Yeah.
In 2008, The Voice of the Genius, Conversation with Nobel Scientists and Other Luminaries, based books, page 49, ISBN number. Oh, there you go. Nice reference. Interviewer, do you call yourself an agnostic or an atheist? Feynman. He's got to respell it. You know, we'll make him change his name so I can pronounce it. Feynman, an atheist. Agnostic for me would be trying to weasel out and sound like a little nicer than I am about this. Period. I like that. It's well sourced and everything. I actually had a stupid conversation with some nitwit on Whisper. He's like, Christian scientists have come up with studies and science all the time. What if atheists haven't produced nothing? They've basically done nothing. And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I know that there's going to be people who say, oh, we knew about him, but I like this man. There's videos of him. People have made videos about him in YouTube in
really?
The atheist community. And he just has some really wonderful things to say. He's just kind of this, he seems like one of these Carl Sagan guys. He's always smiling, seems really happy, and I just love everything I've ever heard about him. And
cool.
So he's really fascinating.
All right. Well, let's go for that then.
Okay, then.
And it says he's already deceased. He's not the guy that was up on TYT that somebody had a Nobel Prize and they had to sell it for like $500,000 or $1 million or something like that because he couldn't get work because he's a fucking bigot.
Oh, great.
Yeah. All right, let's go with this guy, if you know.
Yep, sounds good to me.
All right.
Yay.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah, winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Right. All right. Now I'll play that song. What was it? Poisoning Pigeons in the Park?
Poisoning Pigeons in the Park.
Yeah. He's also an atheist, too, by the way.
Yay.
Let's see here. Da, 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 da. My computer's a little slow. There it is. Tom Lear. Sorry, the little jumpy at the front.
Spring is here, a suffering is here. Life is Skittles and life is beer. I think the loveliest time of the year is the spring. I do, don't you? Of course you do. But there's one thing that makes spring complete for me and makes every Sunday a treat for me. All the world seems in tune on a spring afternoon when we're poisoning pigeons in the park. Every Sunday you'll see my sweetheart and me as we poison the pigeons in the park. When they see us coming, the birdies all try and hide, but they still go for peanuts when coated with cyanide. The sun's shining bright, everything seems all right when we're poisoning pigeons in the park. We've gained notoriety and caused much anxiety in the Audubon Society with our games. They call it impiety and lack of propriety and quite a variety of unpleasant names. But it's not against any religion to want to dispose of a pigeon. So if Sunday you're free, why don't you come with me and we'll poison the pigeons in the park. And maybe we'll do in a squirrel or two while we're poisoning pigeons in the park. We'll murder them all amid laughter and merriment, except for the few we take home to experiment. My pulse will be quickening with each drop of strychnine we feed to a pigeon. It just takes a smidgen to poison a pigeon in the park.
There we go.
The wonderful Tom Lear.
Yes, Tom Lear. He's got a lot of good songs.
Yes, Yes, he did.
Yeah. I don't know. Is he still alive or?
I believe he passed away.
Oh, that's too bad.
Tom Lehrer. Tom Lehrer. 1928, and he's 86.
Oh, he's still alive.
He is not dead.
Rumors
of his death are extremely exaggerated.
Apparently.
Apparently. So pardon me, Mr. Lehrer.
Mr. Lehrer would listen to our show. I'd be thrilled if he was, but, you know, hey. And if you are Lehrer, why have you not donated a dollar? I mean, you must have made a couple hundred dollars from, you know, the poison in the pigeon in
really,
the park.
Really, you're going to go there?
Yes.
He said, fine, I'm not going to charge you for playing my song.
Right, okay, well, fair is fair. Fair is fair.
There you go.
Fair is fair, though.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. I really wish some more people would donate to the show. I mean, it's really hard for me to do this show, you know, every month, every week, as it is, you know.
Yeah.
I was listening to one of this other podcast, and he's like said, I'm going to shut down the podcast if I don't get anybody to donate, and people donated. I mean, I don't want to go to that level. I really don't want to go to that, but, you know, it gets hard. I mean, it really does. And I appreciate the fact that you are my only donator right now. I mean, it just.
Oh, I am?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. You're helping me, keeping me afloat.
Well, I do wish I could do more, Packard.
I know you. I know. Yeah.
Thank you for understanding I had to be late today, too. I'm glad I made it back before 5 or something. I was like,
No, that's fine. I have no problem. It gave me time to sit down and actually look at sort of stuff here. Yeah, you are the only person who's Patreon right now, except for that one person who donated a shitload and then they took it back.
Took it back, yeah.
The next day. I was like, I couldn't believe them. I was like, I couldn't believe it. So sad.
Yeah.
See, I want to get the show up to, if I could get, excuse me. If I could get it, the shows, if someone will donate, people would donate and get it up to like, say, $400 a month. You know, I'm not even asking $400 a show. I'm just asking for like $400 a month. And I could bring the show back for an hour or longer every month then, or every weekend, you know, no more short shows then.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Maybe we need to make a ad.
Yeah.
For that.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. So. You should write that ditty that you know, that'd be great.
That off the cuff thing I did.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, we all listen to so much Weird Al and parody music that it's in our all of our blood, I think. So.
Yes. And I have it set for like once, per month, and it's not like I'm asking. You know, I put the dollar thing, a donation at a dollar. I mean, it's not like I'm asking for, you know, having it set for, oh, you got to donate $20, minimum $20. Like, no, I'll take a buck. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not asking a lot. I don't understand, you know. That's less than, you know, what is that? Hold on here. Let's see, $1 divided by 30, let's say 30 days. That's 3 cents a day. You can't even get bubblegum for 3 cents a day.
Not anymore.
You got the, you can't. You know, everything else, it's a minimum of a dime or a nickel. You know, even in the cheapest things there. But nowadays, those things are even are up to like a buck if you want to even get that. So, anyway. All righty. Well, I want to thank everybody that downloads this show and then listens to us. And I hope that you will come and listen to us on Friday at VaughnLive.tv/PackardPokeSat and hit the like button on Facebook.com/PackardPokeSat and get us up to 100 likes. We are at 92 likes. We're so close to 100. So if you're not, if you haven't already liked the show on Facebook, please do so again. Do so.
Yes.
Yeah, that would really help. That'd really be nice if you could do that. So. and say write something nice on YouTube or iTunes, you know, or write us an email. Send us an email. You know, I'm all for just writing an email. Even, you know, hey.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, we'll get it be out of here. You have a good night. Or good
night,
day,
everybody.
Good night.